Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have another episode of In Other News, and we're kind of going back old school because we're not doing this on camera. We have to protect our regular recurring guest identity, Pat Beeman from On an Island with Pat Beeman. And the only way Pat would come back on the show, once he found out that we were filming everything, he said, look, with my podcast, I can't be on camera due to contractual obligations and everything. And so we said, no, that's fine. We love having you on the show. So these, you know, the In Other News are going to continue to be audio only.
Well, there's a whole wealth of security issues as well.
Well, on video. Yeah, look, Pat, first of all, we certainly appreciate you coming back, but your security people were kind of a pain in the ass to us. They were kind of a pain, but we will put up with that. I mean, we love having you on the show, but I mean, you've got some like above Secret Service level kind of security people. I mean, they're very just adamant about, you know, your requirements.
Well, I appreciate the accommodation. I do enjoy being on the show. You know, lawyers, contractual responsibilities, everybody has a say in it. You know, I can't tell you that most of our guys were former Secret Service or,
sure,
you know, as Mossad, but you probably have figured that out by now. So.
Right. Yeah. But hey, I'm glad we can kind of go back to the old school every once in a while and just do the audio only and do some of these In Other News. And I know it's been a while, so Pat, glad to have you back. Wolf, do we have a news story we're going to read?
Yeah. Before the show started, you said going back to audio only was like going back in a time machine.
Yes.
And really, it's only been like about 2 weeks since we did audio only. So I was just thinking, what a crap use of a time machine.
Well,
got all that power and we've gone back to 2 weeks ago where we do audio only. That's going to be it, is it?
Yeah, but that sounds about like what we would do.
Yeah.
Do you know how rich you could be, though, if you could just go back 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah, even 2 days.
I mean, right.
Just any sports result.
Absolutely. Alone. Yeah, I mean, the whole Back to the Future movie, Back to the Future Part 2.
Yeah.
All you need is that sports almanac.
We'd probably still get the result wrong or something.
Yeah, we'd fill the lotto ticket out wrong and we'd miss a number. Yeah.
Well, I've got some pretty uplifting stories today. Some relationship stories where people have, you know, made that fatal error in a relationship. Where they decide to get married.
Yeah,
a few bad relationship stories. Got some racist counting going on. And somebody decided to perform an exorcism at Home Depot. So
this is, sounds like a great day.
Yeah. And that's all one story. So, start off.
First of all, well, no, I'm going to let you go. Because I thought about a comment about Home Depot because I took my wife furniture shopping over the weekend. And when you see some stuff on like social media or whatever for like Home Depot and Lowe's and all that, there were toilets sitting in this furniture store we went in Grapevine. And I thought, I wonder if somebody's ever, you know, sat down on this toilet sitting in the hallway, which obviously wasn't in a bathroom. It was, hey, you should buy this toilet if anybody's ever tried to use it. Because there was no sign on it.
And you thought with your wife being Mexican, there's a 50-50 chance she might try and
probably
leave a message in one of the porcelain.
Exactly.
Features. Yeah. There has been stories. I mean, I think they put signs up in some stores, do not use the toilets,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case you're on that level of thinking that.
I would think that's your four and under group.
Yeah, plumbed toilet in the middle of a store in front of everybody, which is your convenience to take a crap.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the first story, another one of those stories where I think the writer has lived for this moment to try and get the headline.
I love these.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
He's retired the moment he's written this article, thrown his pen down, saying, well, this didn't bring in any money anyway.
And he's just for waiting for newspaper. Yeah, he's waiting for his Pulitzer Prize because he wrote this article.
Well,
here we go.
Well, I'm going to read the headline minus the intro three words. Then I'm going to give his, and I'm going to give his little line.
Right. Okay.
Bridie wants to hire a peacock to walk down the aisle with her, is warned it'll be like unleashing angry murder chickens and guests will be massacred.
Very long headline.
Yeah, but his brilliance came at the beginning. His introduction was a foul idea.
Doing a little pun there.
Drops his pen, walks away from his desk. That's it.
Yeah, but angry murder chickens.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
Yeah. Well, you can go down to Mexico and get them.
Oh, like they the fighting. Yeah, the fighting ones, chickens. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Angry murder chickens. Yeah.
I think that's just a new fancy term for these chickens.
Well, I don't know about you. I'd like an invite to this wedding. If she's going to hire a peacock to walk down the aisle with it, possibly massacring guests.
Right, but does the peacock get the money, or does the owner of the peacock get the money? And can you own
what
a
money?
Peacock?
What do you mean, what money? Oh, well, if you hire one.
Yeah, you just said, we're going to hire this peacock, or they're going to hire this peacock.
Well, no, he's probably got an agent if he's a professional.
Right. So I wonder how much it costs to hire a peacock. I mean, outside the one from NBC.
Right.
Because that peacock's got to be really rich.
Yeah. And they just use an image of that one, don't they?
It's no well, I think he died a long time ago.
So I know we need more info on this one.
Yeah, but he played the xylophone.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, the peacock from NBC played the xylophone. That's why you always hear the bam, bam, bam. Oh.
Really?
Yes.
I'll listen out for that next time.
Yeah. Do you know the notes for that is G-E-C?
No.
Yeah. So you music fanatics out there, the notes for NBC, when it goes bing, 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 it's actually G-E-C. Because General Electric owns NBC, and GEC is General Electric Corporation, and that's why those notes are played.
You should save that story for the next party you're at in case the conversation gets a bit of a lull, and see if you can set the room on fire with that little factoid there. So a bride believed to be from the US, so I see they've done the research here, was looking to rent a peacock for a wedding. Wanted animal, just like that, just that's how the sentence starts. Wanted animal, comma, known for pretty feathers, comma, to walk down the aisle at ceremony. He's paying per letter here, I think.
Didn't know the name of the peacock, apparently.
Others said peacocks were too aggressive, loud, and messy for a wedding. Added the bride ceremony would be mayhem if she went through with the idea.
Wait, peacocks are messy?
Yeah, like swans, they poop all over the place when they get excited.
Yeah, but I thought all birds did that.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I know ducks do.
Right. Yeah. They get excited, though, don't they?
Well, no, ducks just do it whenever they want to do it. And they can't even control it. They just go ahead and poop because they got to poop.
Right.
My sister learned in 7th grade that birds don't have bladders. And that's the reason that the poop comes everywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean,
poop doesn't come out your bladder, though.
No, in birds it does.
Does it? You sure about that one? The bladder contains the poop in a bird.
No, there is no bladder.
There is no bladder.
Yeah. So how do they
only have one system.
So they don't pee then?
No, they don't pee. That's why the poop is all watery all the time. And they can't control it. You know, when we had our duck, that was the problem with the duck. It'd just be walking around and you'd, you know, say, hey, Ruby, come here. And she would come walking up to you and, you know, five steps in would just poop behind her.
So that rude joke I told my mum when I was about 13 isn't true then, because she asked or made a comment about, I wonder why they call it a peacock. And I said, because it pees out of its. So that wasn't even true.
Yeah, no, that wasn't true.
Oh, well. Live and learn, I suppose. A friend of the bride, believed to be from the US, took to Facebook for recommendations on how to rent the bird ahead of the nuptials. Their request was shared on That's It, I'm Wedding Shaming Facebook group, where many said peacocks were aggressive animals that can break your nose and poop everywhere.
Oh, I think we need to stop right here. What Facebook group? I think we need to join this Facebook group.
That's It, I'm Wedding Shaming.
Wedding Shaming, yeah. Facebook group.
It's called That's It, I'm Wedding Shaming.
Oh, wow.
We're going to get on there.
Yeah, we're doing that after we finish recording. I have to see some of this.
Well, here's some of the helpful tips which people wrote on the group after she put on this request. It says, because who doesn't want their wedding vows drowned out by the screams of a giant angry folding fan, one said. Another one said, this person has never actually met a peacock, which is probably pretty accurate because I don't think I have.
I've never met one.
Yeah. Peacocks are crackheads in fancy clothing. They are not to be trusted.
Okay, that's a little mean.
Peacocks are bad mother lovers and will F all your S up, then poop everywhere. Go for it. If you can't afford a peacock but want the same end result, rent a flock of angry geese. I'm going to hard pass on a decorative murder chicken. That said, it would be a great drinking game. Drink every time a person screams.
It's amazing how many people are experts in peacocks on the site.
Well, they wait in the wings, though. Like, they look for the hashtag. This was probably hashtagged, hashtag peacock. And there's people who just sit there and they're like, at last. Yeah. Now I can give all of my information about peacocks.
We've been on this wedding site now for 4 months, just waiting for someone to hashtag peacock.
Yeah. Now, Pat, let me ask you this. I know, you know, you had one of your children just got married recently.
That is true.
Don't want to release the name or anything.
No, we can do.
But did you ever consider hiring a peacock for that wedding?
I did not. Now, fortunately, I wasn't that involved in the wedding. As you can imagine, I did what I was told up where I was told.
Sure, but of course, I guess we need to let this out. It was your son, so it's more, you know, the bride and the bride's family that makes all the plans. But you never at one point said, hey, look, here's what I want. I want a peacock at the wedding.
No, I didn't say that, but I do wish I would have had those fighting chickens.
Mm. Yes, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
I mean, on the side, people could, you know,
add some bucks. Yeah, add some entertainment at the end. I mean, you have the chicken dance. That sucks. And then, you know, you could support the open bar with betting on the fighting chickens.
Yeah, maybe at the end of the night.
I'm pretty sure with my
pit bulls fighting just to kind of like liven it up as the bar runs out.
Well, I know I've been to weddings with my wife's family, you know, down South Texas, where they've actually had the fighting chickens as part of the reception, and you bet on that. But I think that's pretty much just a South Texas tradition.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, here's another relationship story, but this woman is being a little bit spiteful. Woman buys a revenge necklace for a boyfriend engraved with the names of the three women he was cheating on her with. I bet it's more than that. And plans to give it to him on their anniversary in front of his family.
So she hasn't broken up with him yet?
No.
She's playing the long game.
Yeah.
You got to admire the patience.
Yeah, women aren't normally renowned for that.
Right.
When they find out being infidelity, it's normally she like craps all over his clothes and scratches his car.
Sure, once they find out about it, they just want to throw it all out there and put the cards on the table, right?
Yeah.
So you got to appreciate the patience there.
Yeah. For the benefit of our listening audience, I'm going to show Pat a picture of this woman. She just looked like you should not be messing with her because she will mess your stuff up.
Yeah, she will mess you up.
She will mess you up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody's going to get a shanking, not just a necklace.
She looks like she could probably win the powerlifting competition in the Olympics.
That's going to be awesome. Jewelry maker, Liv Portillo. Oh, so she even makes jewelry, so that's convenient. That probably explains the revenge.
Oh, she also is a...
It's less expensive, at least, that way. Well,
right.
I'm not
yeah, you can put all that in cost of goods sold.
I thought it was a good idea before.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, hold up. Jewelry maker Liv Portillo, who is not the person involved in this story, claims an unnamed woman ordered the engraved piece for cheating boyfriend.
Well, was that picture the jewelry maker or was that the unnamed woman?
You know, that I do not know at the moment. It sounds like an advertisement for the jewelry lady if they've put a photo of her in her name. Because even her look makes me, if I walk in that store, I'm not leaving empty-handed because otherwise right. She'll beat the crap out of me.
So she's trying to break into revenge jewelry?
Revenge jewelry, yeah. It should be a category on eBay or Amazon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe she needs to go ahead and register revengejewelry.com.
Yeah.
Is that a website?
I don't know. Kissmyasspendants.org.
Hang on. Now I got to get my phone. Is revengejewelry.com available? Maybe we're going to buy that right now. Hang on.
Get the .ru address.
Revengejewelry.com. Think about the money-making opportunity you would have with that, right?
Right. Here we go.
You wonder how long she's planning on staying with the man until her big reveal.
Well, the jewelry maker shared a TikTok video of the piece, which she claimed had been ordered by an unnamed woman. The gold necklace features the date of the couple's anniversary, 21st of June 2015. Oh, dang. On the front and the three names on the back, Ashley, Genesis, and Karen.
Wow. Oh. Now there's a grouping.
Yeah.
Well, I mean... the problem there, putting Genesis, when you have that, depending what date she puts, what format she puts the date in, somebody's probably just going to think it's going to be an inspirational verse.
So here's what's crazy. So I typed in revenge jewelry into Google, and there's all kinds of stuff in Google. I mean, there's an Instagram page for revenge jewelry.
Oh.
This is amazing.
As well as the necklace, the shopper ordered some pieces for herself, including a crystal bracelet intended to remove negativity.
Wow, you've got me going down a rabbit hole right now with this revenge jewelry.
I'll be honest with you. To me, though, the biggest thing here is some guy cheated with two women.
Three.
One named Karen and one named Genesis. Yeah. That seems like the polar opposite ends of the earth to me.
Right, yeah.
Oh, so revengejewelry.com is for sale right now.
All right. How much?
$4,000.
Someone else thought it was a good idea.
$4,000 to buy revengejewelry.com.
Oh, that's .com. See what the .ru is, if we could buy the Russian version.
Who in the hell would want to go on the Russian version?
Well, they might want extreme revenge jewelry.
Well, yeah, but I don't even want to type that in my phone because I don't want to get those weird ads that you always get on your phone.
So not only do you get jewelry, you send somebody around and they get a good beating as well.
Yeah, or nuclear weapons and submarines.
Yeah. So here's another love story which has kind of gone south. English teacher, 32, is charged with sexually assaulting a male student, 16, while on spring break, and throwing scissors at his head because he was sitting next to his girlfriend. Now, again, for the benefit of our listening audience, this woman does have the look of a woman who would throw scissors at your head.
I'll be honest with you. Generally, when I hear a story like this, I'm on the guy's side because, you know, hell yeah.
Right.
In this case, maybe he could have done better.
She does look like she's had some bathtub meth.
Yes.
At some point.
Yeah, she does look like somebody from Florida who has
read more of the story, right? Katrina Maxwell, charged with two counts of sexual assault of a child. She was an English teacher at some high school, its name is too long, I can't be bothered to say it, although if I had said it, it would be shorter than what I've just said, in Houston. She allegedly admitted to having sex with a 16-year-old male student in the back seat of her car between March and April. What comes between March and April? Obviously, this kid in the back seat of the car, but I mean, what comes between March and April?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Maxwell's colleague claimed to have witnessed her throw a pair of scissors at the victim's head because he sat next to his girlfriend. Maxwell allegedly claimed she loved the teen, She also complained she would now be known as the teacher who effed her student. Well, I mean, I think that's a given.
Yeah, but there's a...
It comes with the territory.
Yeah, but there's a lot of teachers nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen those memes, like on, Nine Gag or Facebook or whatever, that I think we can all agree, you know, we're all pretty close in age. You think about the teachers that you had in school versus the teachers that are in school now, and you're what happened? Mm. Like, how did we miss out on these teachers? I mean, I think we talked about this on a prior podcast about, who was your favorite teacher and why, and we both said, hey, here's our favorite teacher and here's why.
Yeah.
But now I look at these kids and I'm like, look at this teacher. I mean, this is amazing. All my teachers, for the most part, 99.5% of them look like Sylvester Stallone.
Well,
right? But now some of these teachers are kind of hot.
Well, one of my favorite memories, when people ask me, what was your greatest childhood memory? I think at 13 years old, was accidentally touching my home economic teacher's boob while she was going down the register. I was leaning over to kind of like get a book, and my elbow accidentally touched her boob. And
yeah,
that's one of my favorite moments in my childhood.
And that gave you like 2 weeks of just fantastic memories.
I was antisocial for a couple of weeks there. My time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, nowadays, you look at some of these teachers and you're like, wow. Yeah. And then you look at your kids and you're like, you don't realize how good you have this.
Yeah.
You really don't realize how good you have this.
Yeah. And we just want to say we're not in favor of female teachers raping their male students.
No.
But sitting in school did give you something nice to look at if the female teacher was somewhat attractive. And plus, given we were crap with girls when we were younger, it was actually a female who would speak to you, even if she was telling you to shut up or why did you get an E more?
She was getting paid for that, similar to a prostitute or a stripper.
Yeah. Plus I learned about home economics. So, I mean, twofer.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. Math is racist. We knew this. Educators condemn math is racist.
That's the headline of this story. Math is racist.
Yep.
Wow.
Counting and stuff.
Carry on.
Yeah. Educators condemn $1 million plan dismantling racism in mathematics. Program funded by Bill Gates, because he's trying real hard to slip even further down the popularity list, which tells teachers not to push students to find the correct answer because it promotes white supremacy. Now, there's a few assumptions there.
I'm so confused about this article right now.
Yeah. I mean, you've been dismantling white supremacy by being crap at math for like 30 years. So, I mean, can't blame you for that.
I mean, I've got to use a calculator to do simple addition.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, if I can do math well, I'm a racist?
Yeah. Well, expecting the correct answers is racist because it promotes white supremacy.
Why wasn't this around when I was in school?
When you were struggling with math.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could have got A's in all of my math classes because I could have just put the wrong answer and said, well, if I put the right answer, this is racist, so you got to give me an A.
Wow.
But it sounds like it's only racist if you expect it from the white students.
Yeah.
If you expect it from a non-white student, then that's not racist? Is that what we're trying to say?
Well, I don't know how hard they're pushing it, because I haven't gone through the article yet. I don't think if, like, the teacher asks a question...
You haven't gone through the article yet.
At all, no. I just went through the headline.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh. So maybe we need some more information before we start making inferences.
Of, like, if the teacher says, all right, what's 5 times 7? Little Jimmy puts his hand up and says 35. She doesn't go over there and put a KK hat on his head. Oh. I don't think it's gone that far yet.
It could.
It centers around a workbook which asserts that asking students to find the correct answer for math problems is inherently harmful for minorities. So far, the workbook is being used by school districts in Georgia, Ohio, and is the shock to inclusions California and Oregon. Critics say it actually reinforces negative stereotypes and drives wedges between students according to their race. The workbook's ultimate message is clear. Black kids are bad at math. So why don't we just excuse them from really learning it?
Yeah, but I mean, when you say something like black kids are bad at math, that's extremely racist.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's blatantly racist. Yeah. But taking that part out of it, just saying if you get a problem in math right, and that's racist, yeah. I'm not following here.
Yeah, I don't think black people are bad at math. I mean, they're crap at ice skating, but
well,
I didn't think math was really...
You know, I think, what was it, Chris Rock had a deal on one of his stand-ups a long time ago where he said, you know, how many black people were so great at sports. And he said, and as long as they invent a heated hockey rink, we'll take that over too. Because, you know, they don't want to be cold. Yeah. And I get it. I don't want to be cold. That's why I live in Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucked in February when we had Snowmageddon and we were sitting here like, that. This sucks. Like, all this snow sucks. That's why the smart people moved from the coast over on the east and came over here where it was warmer, because we don't like the cold. A good American doesn't like the cold. That's why I hate Canadians, because they love the cold.
But they're very good at ice skating.
They are good at ice skating.
Yeah. Instead That's of those true. Little baby booties, they get little ice skates given to them when they're kids.
Well, I guess that's good for the Canadian babies, because what else are you going to do with them?
Yeah. So, do you eat at Subway, Pat, at all?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Every 6 to 8 weeks.
You're going to love this article, then. Lab analysis of Subway's tuna sandwiches fails to identify tuna DNA for the second time, just months after class action lawsuit claims franchise is misrepresenting fish.
I like a good Subway sandwich.
Yeah.
But I only like the meatball sandwich. And here's why. Because, you know, I don't eat vegetables, right? So if you're going to get like a ham and cheese sandwich, right, at Subway, it's all about the toppings. You know, all the vegetables that you throw in there and make the sandwich really good. I don't want any vegetables in my sandwich. So the only way I believe I get my money's worth out of a sandwich at Subway is the meatball sandwich.
You're not even that keen on the bread, though. I don't know why you just don't buy a can of meatballs.
That would be smarter.
Yeah, it would be smarter, wouldn't it? Yeah, especially one with a peel-back lid, so you don't even have to carry one of those can openers around with you.
That's true. Pat, what's your favorite Subway sandwich?
Whichever one's on sale, generally.
Oh,
Cold-cut combo, spicy Italian, those are kind of my go-tos. Now, you're right. The point of going to Subway is to load on the veggies. You know, the lettuce, tomato, onion, peppers, spinach.
Right, and so you gotta like all that stuff to make it worthwhile. Yeah.
It's the only reason really to go.
Yeah, it really is.
Otherwise, it's just cold cuts.
Yeah, but then I see what you're saying on the base of the sandwich. If the tuna isn't really tuna, what is it?
Well, the lab that tested the Subway tuna sandwiches found no amplification products from the DNA. I don't know what that means. And so they cannot identify the species. Results of the analysis come months after a class action lawsuit was filed against a fast food franchise alleging misrepresentation of the fish in their sandwiches. Now, not since SpongeBob became a lawyer has there been such a misrepresentation of fish.
Yeah. So have you ever had, Pat, have you ever had a tuna sandwich from Subway?
No, I don't know why anyone would ever order that.
But okay, now you admitted you like Subway sandwiches, so please try to prove this to me. There was a crab sandwich, right? Was there not some kind of a crab
deal where they said imitation crab?
No.
Well, almost everything says imitation crab.
Yeah, because real crab meat's pretty expensive because you don't get much out of it.
Okay, so you have this imitation crab. Yeah. Is it imitation tuna then with Subway and they're trying to pass it off as real tuna? And how do you imitate these sea creatures?
Well, I don't know, but the point is, I mean, crab meat's pretty expensive. So I understand people not using real crab meat, but real tuna's not that expensive, is it?
No. No, it's not. I mean, you can get it in the cans at the grocery store for like 75 cents,
well,
I think.
The analysis was led by the New York Times, which obviously doesn't have anything better to do, which acquired more than 5 feet of tuna sandwiches from the fast food franchise, which, if you're racist, you can work out that's either 10, 6 inches or 5 foot long sandwiches. Huh?
Yeah, but shouldn't that have been a red flag? Like, who orders 5 feet worth of tuna sandwiches from Subway?
Well, maybe the people testing the tuna sandwiches, they want a robust sample.
Well, yeah, it's them, but shouldn't the guy, you know, sitting there saying, you know, I'm making whatever it is, $8 an hour, working at Subway, no one orders 5 feet worth of tuna sandwiches here.
Don't you think they went to different stores?
Yeah, I could have done that, you know.
Maybe they were smart enough to do that.
Well, the people who found it, they're suing for fraud, intentional misrepresentation, unjust enrichment, and other civil violations.
Other civil violations. I'd love to know what those are.
Derek Chauveau didn't get hit with as many charges as that, did he?
No.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, so the New York Times sent more than 60 inches worth of tuna sandwiches to a lab. They were ordered without cheese or vegetables to avoid contaminating the test, because we know how positive they normally test for tuna in tests. The lab conducted a $500 PCR test to determine if the Subway tuna was one of five different species. They found no amplification products, cannot identify it, hinted at two possible conclusions. One, it's so heavily processed that whatever we could pull out, we couldn't make an identification, or we got something and there's no tuna in there. So there we go.
Wow.
Or it could be a new sixth version of tuna. We only apparently know of five.
So what?
Maybe there's a sixth.
Over 15 species of fish that can be considered tuna.
Or they only checked for five then.
Yeah. Some of my states say sell skipjack and yellowfin tuna, which a lab will know as Katsuwonus pelamis. That's gone too far there. They couldn't tell it was tuna.
But we need to clarify, they're not looking for the Delta variant of tuna.
No, which is just as well, because nobody can tell what the Delta variant of anything is, because there are no tests, apparently.
But we also want to make sure that we're clear. We love Delta Airlines, even though we don't fly Delta Airlines.
I don't like Delta.
I don't really either.
Don't expect luggage to arrive airlines, Delta Airlines.
Pat, do you ever fly Delta Airlines?
I have flown Delta a couple of times. My sister is a flight attendant for Delta.
Is she really?
Be careful with what you say.
Yeah, but Pat always flies first class, so it's not really a...
Well, that, or when he flies private, you know. Let's be honest, Pat, and we don't like to leak this out, but when's the last time you were actually on a real commercial flight? It's been a while, right? I mean, you're always flying private.
I mean, we do get around a variety of transportation modes. Let's just say that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, anyway, I'm sure you want to know Subway's official excuse for it.
Yes.
So Subway does not comment on where they get their tuna from, but a California store manager revealed the tuna comes in a case, and inside the case, there are six aluminum pouches, and it's just like a pressed, vacuum-sealed slab of tuna. She described it as flaky and clearly soaked in water when it arrives before it is spread out and mixed with mayo. So there we go, then. They got their expert to make the statement.
Yeah, but that's exactly how it shows up when you buy it from the grocery store.
I would think for sure that it went to every store pre-mixed. I'm shocked that they mix their tuna in a location.
Yeah, I agree.
To me, makes it a lot fresher.
Yes.
You know, it's a fish product with mayonnaise mixed in a store, not in a warehouse.
Right.
Right, I want to move on to this next story because it's got another great line and probably another retired journalist after he wrote this.
Oh, is this another mic drop moment?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Another pen drop.
Here we go.
cops are called to break up a disorderly exorcism of dead trees in the lumber aisle of Home Depot in Pennsylvania. Any guesses on the snappy headline?
No, I've got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Barking mad.
Mm.
Mm. He could have done better, but I don't think these opportunities present themselves that often.
So we have a group of individuals that have shown up to a Home Depot.
It might just be one person, mate.
Okay, fair enough. No, fair enough. Okay, so we have one or more individuals that have shown up to a Home Depot to do an exorcism on lumber.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, actually, it does say people, so there was more than one. Yeah. Although, it might just be one person and his pronouns is people. Just like I told my girlfriend, from now on, my pronouns, it's just going to be them. No he, his, him, it, just them. No sir, no nothing, them. I have to be referred to as them all the time.
What about they?
No, just them.
And they is good.
And I also
like they better than
them. And I also keep it up when I talk about myself as well. So I'm just like, them going to get a drink.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Would you like them to fetch you something?
Do you ever say, them isn't doing anything today. Them is going to play the Xbox.
Yeah.
Them is going to play the Xbox all day. Yeah. So leave them alone.
I feel if I confuse her enough, she'll just leave me alone so then I have the peace and quiet to go and play the Xbox.
Right.
So the Dixon City Police Department disclosed a bizarre incident in a Facebook post detailing the 911 calls it had received on Monday afternoon. The description for a call at 3:26 p.m. read, disorderly people having an exorcism in the lumber aisle for dead trees. They were escorted out of the building. A Dixon City police officer said it was a seance type of thing for the dead. There were two people hanging out in the lumber department doing their little exorcism thing. I think he's belittling an exorcism a little bit. You never know when you're going to need one. So I think you need to keep these people on the right side of you. Right, where are we? Oh, yeah. Some people at the store started picking up that something was happening that was not necessarily normal. Police were called to the store and they were escorted out of the building. The officer said neither of the individuals involved will face charges. Sometimes I think the 2x4s in my garage are possessed, wrote somebody mockingly. Wait, shouldn't have put his name to that. That was crap. Louis Galeto, mate, you need to come up with better comments. That was crap.
Yeah.
Best time for you to delete that is right now. May the price of plywood come down, the name of Christ compels you. That's a little bit more inventive. That's pretty good, isn't it?
I mean, I know a lot of people in the plywood business that they would probably love to have a priest come in and somehow exercise the amount of money people are paying for building materials.
We're not going to talk about dead stock on this podcast.
No.
Sticky topic.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah. So I did want to finish with this story because it's a pet story.
Pet story?
Yeah, we're good with pet stories.
We haven't had an animal in this entire series.
And this one's
strange.
We have. We had the peacock.
Well, that's more about the woman who wanted a peacock than the actual peacock being the...
I wouldn't mind having a pet peacock.
Them wouldn't mind having a peacock either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all have heard, but peacocks are nasty. It's like having a murderous chicken.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then they poop everywhere. Yeah.
So this is an okay story because the animal's already dead this time. So normally we talk about a little bit of sadness in animal stories, but this one's already brown bread. So art teacher accidentally creates Frankenstein's cat after trying out taxidermy for the first time on a deceased tabby cat, leaving it with a terrifying grin and a body like a hot dog.
So, well, okay, so
for let's, the listening viewers,
yeah. So let's go. Cat. Yeah, so let's go ahead and.
It's a cat.
Oh wow,
we might. Have
that to, is awesome.
We might have to put this one on our Facebook.
But, yeah, no, we're gonna have to put that on.
Close in with it.
Oh wow,
closing with it over his shoulder.
So
So the cat was dead.
Yeah.
But and she thought, I'm going to go ahead and electrocute it.
Oh, my God.
So we've got to put that on our Facebook. And
yeah, you're going to have to send me those pictures.
Benefit that one.
Wow.
So Jennifer Clark from Citrus County in Florida.
Oh, there you go.
First Florida mention.
Now it's starting to make sense.
Decided to try taxidermy on a tabby cat she found dead by the roadside.
Wow.
However, her attempts at preserving the cat's body delivered alarming results. Animal was left with large black mouth, elongated body. She kept the cat, keeping it on her front windowsill of her Florida home. Jennifer has named the cat Oscar after US hot dog firm Oscar Mayer because of the body's bizarre length.
I need to know about a person who picks up dead animals on the side of the road and attempts at-home taxidermy.
Yes.
Well, here we go. So Jennifer Clark from Citrus County told people on social media that she had wanted to step up her art skills. She's actually an arts teacher. When she bought a tabby... What? Bought? Oh, brought as in...
Oh, brought.
To herself as such. When she bought a tabby, she found dead at the roadside home to work on. But the month-long process became more complicated than she first anticipated. Where did she get this guy from? YouTube, wasn't it?
And she ended up struggling reading this,
and
right?
She ended up with a kind of shocking exhibit you might find in a bad taxidermy museum. Wow.
Oh, we're definitely putting these pictures up on our Instagram. And will you stop showing me all these pictures?
This cat Oscar needs to be our mascot.
Yes.
Yeah. I died in Florida, and all I got was this lousy taxidermy. I don't know.
I feel bad for Oscar's owners if they ever stumble across those pictures.
Yeah. That poor cat.
There's a 4-year-old girl someplace that would be
That poor cat is... Wow. Yep. I'm speechless because I'm trying not to laugh too much, but that is... got to be one of the worst looking cats I think I've ever seen. And the fact that she went through the taxidermy to go ahead and say, hey, look at this, and took the pictures.
Well, I can't believe it took her a month. How does it take you a month? Because, I mean, what if you...
Oh, you can't do that overnight.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm considering it's dead, right? You're figuring, like, dehydrating it, okay? And cutting it open and then just stuffing some stuff in there to fill it out.
Yeah, the styrofoam and all the crap that they put in there.
I mean, because if the body was already... I mean, what did it die of? Did it die in a Warner Brothers cartoon accident?
Yeah.
Because why is it that long? You can't have a 2-foot-long cat.
Yeah, that is the most ridiculous-looking cat I think I've ever seen.
Stretched out by being tied to, like, I don't know, a tree or something.
I totally love that. That actually... is the best kind of cat, though.
What?
A dead stuffed
one. Dead and long.
Dead and long and stuffed, so you don't have to feed it. And obviously, that cat should have its own Instagram account.
I can't believe she kept it on her windowsill, though, on her front windowsill.
Well, it depends on what part of Florida she was in, because I could see the heat kind of screwing up the glue and... everything from the taxidermy.
Well, judging by that, she might as well just use a stapler.
Now, that's probably true. And with all that said, thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.